The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And good morning, everybody. It is hour number two, 8 o'clock hour on this Wednesday, the second day of March, Election Day, the day after. We opened with Attorney General Ken Paxton, filled with vigor, ready to take on George P. Bush. George P. Bush will join us at 8:35. Yesterday, there were more folks voting for people other than Paxton than for Paxton. So his job is to welcome folks back into the fold. One of the more intriguing things that Paxton will have to do is welcome back into the fold people who probably have spent a lot of time liking him, but heard their candidate say some things that were not particularly complimentary. That is Louie Gohmert, who for years in Congress has inspired every conservative, made a big decision some time ago and said, man, let's go try to be Texas Attorney General. He joins us this morning. Louie, good morning, sir. How we doing?
Well, been better, Mark. But always good to talk to you. And I do appreciate your fairness. You've always been fair. You've been a friend. You just try to call things as you see them. And I've always appreciated you that and none more than now.
Well, I love you. And I'm not in the habit of like speaking for an audience because nothing is monolithic. But for every conservative whom you have inspired with the kind of courage in Congress that we need more of, with the kind of courage in every office that we need more of, just thank you and God bless you. And it's not a you're not dead, for God's sake. It's not a eulogy. So let's ask.
Another year. That's right. I've got a year to finish strong as a member of Congress. There's a lot of things I want to prepare for the Congress ahead that will hopefully be a majority. So there's a lot to be done, but I don't always enjoy my role. Dan Webster is a very strong Christian, first Republican Speaker of the Florida House since Reconstruction, and a good friend. But he's told me repeatedly in Congress when I stand up and would tell, whether it's Boehner or Ryan or whoever, Kevin, look, this is where we're going wrong. This is what we got to do. And if we don't, here's what's going to happen. He said, you're our Jeremiah in Congress for Republicans. You tell us what we don't want to hear, but what's going to be happening if we don't do the right thing. And then it turns out you were right. So we kind of get over our mad long enough for you to tell us again what we got to do to avoid problems, and we don't do it, and we get mad at you, and turns out you were right. That's not a fun role, but sometimes you win. Sometimes you get people to do the right thing. And so anyway, that's what I tried to bring to the AG race. I thought I was going to be second a month ago. I was, I'm told, second, but I got outspent on average 6-1 between the three others and drove me down to fourth. And so I won't be running for Attorney General, and I will look to be faithful in whatever else is next. But no, you're right, Mark. I won't be quiet. I'll be fighting.
I know you will. You are a youthful 68, 69. What are you?
68.
There you go. Well, listen, and I'm just a couple of years behind you. Ain't nobody getting rid of either of us anytime soon. So at the numbers, Paxton did have just under 43, and George P. makes the runoff with almost 23. You and Ava were both in the 17s. I mean, the definition of close can vary, but do you think it was being outspent? Do you think, or was it in a way a kind of a conflict? We talked about this. And I know the things you had to say about Ken, but you share a lot of the same fan base. Do you think, in fact, that a bunch of people who voted for you voted for you because they love you and they should love you, but are now probably going to turn around and vote for Ken anyway in the runoff?
I don't know. There were concerns that a lot of people had and shared. So that remains to be seen. And, you know, a lot depends on what happens in the next 3 months. We saw what happened, in David Dewhurst's race. You never know.
Yeah.
But this is a whole different situation than David Dewhurst because, David hadn't impressed people that he was really doing conservative things. So it remains to be seen. We'll see. I got in it to have a runoff, be in the runoff, win the runoff, and I didn't achieve number two of being in the runoff. Like I said, from what I understood a month ago, I was number two, and that just spurred me on even harder. But didn't end up that way at the take.
Will
but
you?
People,
go, yeah, go ahead. No. Yeah, okay. Well, we've got 11 long weeks before the May 24th runoff. You've got three choices: kind of stay out of it and see what people do, endorse a Bush, which a lot of people don't see happening, or endorse the guy who you've been kicking in the teeth for 2 months. What do you think?
well, and don't forget. I've been called in the direct mail he sent out largely to East Texas that I was not a conservative. The stuff he put out and through his spokesperson that I was dishonest and would voted more with Beto and Pelosi and was against gun rights and all kinds of stuff. So there's plenty to be unhappy about, but I see myself just completely staying out of it. Texas has spoken, at least 13% have spoken in the primary, and that doesn't bode well for Texas, Mark. We've got to get people, not just more people out voting, but more people paying attention. You got to have more people listening to you, because you get the stuff out there for people to listen to and choose. We just got to get more people paying attention, because this republic and this state, we're in trouble. People have got to pay attention. They got to vote. They got to educate themselves on whom to vote for.
And off-year election turnout can be muted, runoffs are particularly muted. So, and even in something as high visibility as Paxton versus George P., the difference could be a pretty small number of votes. So is your message to the 17% that you got, to those, 300 and some thousand Texans, is your message to them, thank you, and if you're looking and in the runoff, follow your heart, follow your conscience, do whatever you want to do, and you're not going to weigh in?
Follow your conscience. I'm not planning on weighing in at this point. But the thank you is absolute. Man, people have overwhelmed me just with their outpouring. I was at polling places all over the Metroplex yesterday. And, gosh, Mark, we have some incredible people. And I was inspired and uplifted by so many people. But, I mean, people have poured out their pocketbooks. They've given from what they have. They've worked hard for me. There were people out all over the state for me yesterday. Holding signs up, putting out signs, getting out the word, calling, 75 people, different. I mean, it was incredible how grateful I am to the people, because they were so amazing. So,
no doubt.
This didn't come out like I'd hoped, but people need to do their homework. I tried to sound an alarm, but my alarm is going to let people
their own mind. It's not going to be an actual Louis endorsement, if I'm hearing you correctly, and I think I know you, there are things Paxton has done that you've totally agreed with. And yet,
yep.
the ethical stuff troubled you deeply, and his attacks on you repelled you profoundly. So I think I've got that. Now, let me finish.
Okay.
In the other end of the runoff, in George P., you've got a guy who I don't think, other than saying that you would bring an entertainment value to the race, I don't think he said a sideways thing about you. And does George P. deserve some credit, which I have given him, for not sharing the Bush family hatred of Trump and at least saying a lot of things that can resonate with some conservatives?
Yes, he has. And he never attacked me other than, like you said, saying I'd add comedic value. I think he found out otherwise during our debates, but he deserves credit for that. For backing Trump on so many things.
Yeah.
There are people that are not happy about how the Alamo was handled. I'm not planning on at this point weighing in. So.
You know what I think?
Yeah.
I'm just listening to you, and I've known you, and I know. I think that in these 11 weeks, you will not endorse using the E word. And I don't know which way it's going to go, because I don't know, man. George P. is George P., and Ken has said and done. I think 11 weeks from now, we're going to know who you like, one way or the other, even if you may not totally know right now.
We will see. And I tell you, I developed a tremendous amount of respect for Eva Guzman. We were at so many locations. We were in more together than George P. was part of. So anyway, I did develop a great deal of respect. I would have endorsed her.
Yeah, that was my next question. If it was Paxton and Eva Guzman, we would have had a Louis endorsement this morning, huh?
Yeah, you would have.
And so the thing that keeps you from doing a George P. endorsement is what?
Well, Abel was right. I mean, he had his bar license inactive for 10 years. He hadn't spent a lot of time in a courtroom, I was the most experienced, including over 10 as far as litigation experience, prosecution, felonies, major civil litigation. But I just need to back up and give it some prayerful thought. But right now, I don't have a recommendation.
Understand. In what I will, till further notice, consider your seat. No runoff for Smith County Judge Nathaniel Moran, who won outright.
Right.
Do you know him, and do you feel good about him as a successor?
Yeah, I do know him, and he is a friend. I did not endorse in that race, Mark, because I've just always disdained when somebody that's been in office turns around and tries to crown a successor.
Yep.
And I felt like it was too important for whoever would win. And I figured Nathaniel had the best edge. And that turned out to be exactly right. But he needed to win on his own without being crowned here. Here's the successor. And he ran a good race. And so I'm looking for big things ahead for Judge Moran.
This is funny. I just hear people like in my headphones saying, ask him this. God bless Judge Moran. We wish him well. If it's not going exactly the way you want, is there any way 2024 with Trump on the ticket or God knows who else, DeSantis, is there any way you try to, is there any way you think about getting back into Congress?
I have no plans whatsoever for that. But my job, as John Quincy Adams said, is being faithful, and then I'll leave the results to the good Lord. So I just try to be faithful. That's it.
Well, I'll tell you what, the whole point, you know, of being a guest on a talk show is the host asks the guest something, a lot of things. And we've done that for a long, and we will continue. But as we wrap up, as we wrap up, I just want you to hear something from me. And that is enormous gratitude for your time spent on the show, your time spent as a friend. Just God bless you, Louis, for everything you have done and yet will do, because I know you are not done. The private sector is awesome. The private sector is great. You've spent your career singing the praises of the private sector. It will welcome you back with open arms, and I will too on this show anytime any reason. I love you, man.
Thank you, Mark. I love you too. Thanks so much.
That is Louis Gohmert, 824. We'll come back, do a little newscast action, and then let's see, who have we not talked to yet? Oh, yeah, George P. Bush. That's 835. Sit tight. Lots more to come. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Well, all right. There was Louis Gohmert. That was kind of emotional. I love that man. And when he announced for AG, I thought, okay, well, the talk show gods are smiling. But the first thing that occurred to me, and I told y'all, is that I just don't know if that's going to work. And that meant that if I wound up being right about that, and I did, then that means that we lose Louis in Congress. And God bless Judge Moran. He's going to be wonderful, I'm sure. But Louis is a youthful 69, and whatever that man wants to do, I'll be there to help him. All right, so there's a guy who wants some help from you, and that is to beat Ken Paxton. His name's George P. Bush. He joins us next on 660 AM The Answer. Mark Davis, 830. Here's Gordon Griffin. All right, everybody, 836, Election Day, the morning after. Nothing I'd rather be doing than welcoming everybody to see what happens now. And the key what happens now question is in the Texas Attorney General's race. And we know what happens now in one way. We've got us a runoff. May 24th, Ken Paxton, who joined us at 7:05, and George P. Bush, who joins us now. Welcome back to the show, sir, and congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
What a wild night. There were two questions you had to have, and that is, would Paxton be kept under 50? It became pretty clear that was going to happen, I mean, when the early vote came out. But then forever and ever, you and Ava Guzman were just neck and neck. What was that like at headquarters? What was that like up in the suite? And when did it become pretty clear that you had pulled this off?
Well, you know, as you said, there's that lull of time between the early votes being reported and then the actual election day votes coming in throughout the state. And, you know, it showed it being tighter than expected. And then finally, as rural Texas came in and other conservative parts of the states came in, that we felt more comfortable with that margin. You know, my role in this process was just to advise the media to first thank all the county election officials in all 254 counties of Texas that work hard every single day and night to make sure that those results are tabulated in a clear and transparent way. And then to reach out to the other campaigns, which I hope to do later today, to thank my supporters and to put together the blueprint for a winning strategy against Ken. But first things first, I'm really thankful that we're in this position. This is something that we've been planning from day one. But now that we're here, we got 90 days left to make that sale to Texas conservatives as to why they need to hire me and fire Ken.
The way an election night usually goes, and especially when it goes into the wee hours, is everybody stays kind of holed up. Nobody comes out and speaks to supporters until everything is settled, unless it's 4 a.m. and it's time to go home. I think it was like 8:30, 9, I don't know. You pop out and start riffing with reporters. And I thought, this is kind of cool. Usually people don't do that. And you came out and admittedly said it's a dead heat. But then the quote from George P., there's one thing we do know. The good news is, for the people of Texas, Ken Paxton is going to a runoff. And so the indicted felon will have to answer voters for the next 3 months. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, you know, we're running a transparent campaign with the media, all access tour, as we did during the Texas retail stops throughout the state of Texas. And we intend to do that in the next 90 days. And so we would regularly brief them on kind of different areas of the state, like, for example, South Texas, carrying a few of the counties down in the Rio Grande Valley, where the conservative movement is loud and proud and expanding every day. And I'm really proud to be a part of that. But also, you know, outperforming in other parts of the state, in oil country and central Texas. And so, you know, the media was very anxious to follow this race. They'll continue to be following this race. There's a variety of others in Texas, but this will be the race to watch. And again, when it comes to Ken, you know, I want him to debate. I want him to engage the grassroots, just like, you know, Justice Guzman and Congressman Gohmert did honorably in this campaign. We engaged in, I think, 11 debates and one televised. Many of us appeared on your show, and Ken may show up on the show, but he needs to also engage the grassroots instead of thumbing his nose at conservatives.
Well, I don't. That would be my favorite thing too, not just as a talk show guy, but as a citizen. Meanwhile, I guess you guys will be saying a lot of things about each other through me. Glad to be here. Glad to I have a heart for service. Glad to do that. So that's already underway. So let me give you a couple of highlights from the 705 segment. He said, "Hey, Mark, ask him what he's actually done." So, you know, you've been land commissioner, and his point was you talk a lot about what you would do, but not so much about what you have done. Is that fair?
Well, legally, I talked about this on the trail throughout the entire state of Texas, that I led the charge against the Obama Bureau of Land Management when they sought to lay claim to 55,000 acres on the banks of the Red River, partnering with a conservative think tank here in Austin named the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and achieved a successful verdict. We've defended the oil and gas industry, and Mark, with oil at $110 a barrel, there's no more important industry right now that can help provide freedom, dividends for the rest of the world, namely our friends in Eastern Europe and including Western Europe and NATO nations. And I have successful litigation against radical environmental plaintiffs that have sought to list a variety of species. And if you can believe this, Mark, the prostrate milkweed is attempting to be listed by the Biden administration. And coincidentally, Mark, it's in the path of the Texas wall that we're building with Governor Abbott in Starr and Zapata County, one of the most highly trafficked areas, and clearly a subterfuge to try to stop the defense of our own state. So I do have a legal track record as land commissioner. And if somebody can project the biggest threat to the state of Texas, I think natural resources, oil and gas is one of them. But in terms of my most proud piece of litigation that's against the Biden administration right now under the National Empowerment Control Act down in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas, it basically says that under Article 1 powers, Congress contains the power of the purse, not the president. And the president can't just wave a magic wand and divert monies to border security in Tunisia and Egypt and Middle Eastern countries, but not our own southern border. And that's a piece of litigation that is ongoing and that'll continue to pursue.
Part of it is just the way the field is striped. The land office, the GLO, you know, commissioner is an important job. Attorney general is what you're running for, and he has that gig. And I kind of half tongue in cheek said, you're probably going to sue the Biden administration every week on a Wednesday between now and then. And many of those lawsuits might be ones that you yourself would file. Is it an overstatement to say that it's just not about what he has done as attorney general, but what you've focused on last night and focused on every time we chatted, the baggage, the ethical stuff, that's going to be a lot of what we'll hear from you in the next 90 days. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, as a lawyer, as an officer of the court, we swear to uphold the laws of the state, of this country, and the Constitution. And at every turn, he's thumbed his nose. And you can look at his own court filings on the Texas Whistleblower Act case against him by his 8 top lieutenants that he literally states he's above the law. We need somebody who respects the law. And it's really hard to claim the moral high ground on implementing law and order on our border or on the streets of Texas if you yourself are, you know, trying to avoid the law.
How does he, careful, how does he state that he's above the law? What does that mean?
So in his Texas Whistleblower Act case, his defense is that he is not subject to a civil lawsuit led by his 8 top lieutenants because he's not a public official, so that he's not subject to the law. And there is an actual statement in the tea leaves that you'll see that actually states that he is above the law. And we can share that with your office.
Okay.
But
is that
at every turn, you know, he continues to make this assertion that he's not subject to the same laws that everybody else is. But I think the broader point, Mark, is, and any conservative has to be worried, that you have 2 AOC-style Democrats. So we haven't talked about that side of the primary ledger. Mm-hmm. You have Rochelle Garza. She successfully litigated against the Trump administration to legalize abortion for illegal immigrants. So it's called the Garza rule. So any illegal immigrant in an HHS facility is now advised of a legal right that they have to have an abortion. And that's because of Rochelle Garza, who's the front runner in the Democrat race. And then you got Lee Merritt, who's a civil rights attorney, who's a defund the police and Democrat and proudly endorsed by Bernie Sanders. So that's what's on the other side of the ledger. You know, and Beto's only 7% within Governor Abbott's lead, and Ken was the lowest vote getter last time around, underperforming the governor by 10 points. So, you know, if you extrapolate math there, you know, he's underwater, and we just can't afford that for our state, and it's very problematic.
So I'm looking ahead to, obviously, interview segments, which I greatly look forward to, campaign appearances, and, of course, the ubiquitous ads, which I'm sure will kick in probably around the month of May. And I think we've just covered a lot of what yours are going to say about him. In getting a flavor of what he's going to bring back at you, and help me, I think you're going to hear the word Alamo a lot. How did that reimagining of the Alamo thing, how did that shake out? What will happen?
Well, we're excited right now where we stand. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is now fully in support along with the legislature. We've closed down the Alamo Street. We announced 2 weeks ago and during the fog of war of this primary battle that Ripley's, believe it or not, will be leaving, if you can believe it or not. And we continue to honor this incredible site. The cenotaph is not moving, and we continue to renovate the church and Long Barracks. So, you know, the thing on Ken, again, is that he'll attack me here, but he's done nothing on Texas state history. I'm really proud of what we've done. The legislature deserves all the credit for funding close to $200 million to renovate, I think, the most important piece of Texas history and American history there is, and proud to take on woke-tastic scholars that try to tell us to forget the Alamo when all Texans have loudly proclaimed we need to always remember the Alamo.
For those who have not been, and everybody should, you go to the Alamo and it is truly hallowed ground. And then you go across the street and it's like, I don't know, I was going to say being at Six Flags. I don't want to bash Six Flags. It's like being in a touristy, very, and by the way, the Ripley's Museum is actually kind of cool, but I remember thinking, does this really need to be footsteps away from where those heroes died? Has that sort of been the optics problem up to now?
That's absolutely right. There's a wax museum. There's a roller coaster inside of it on the hallowed grounds itself, Mark. And a lot of Texans don't realize that that is the original compound of the Alamo battlefield goes under the so-called Ripley's building. And so early on, one of my first acts of office was buying that building on behalf of the state. But now that the lease is at or near expiration with Ripley's, we're removing them and a bar and other souvenir stores that sell you shot glasses on the grounds of where we believe Davy Crockett gave the last ultimate measure and other amazing Texas heroes. And so that's what this project was all about. And to have Lieutenant Governor's support and the 18-pound cannon, the Palisades being rebuilt, shutting down the streets where 18-wheelers would transit and carry cement, now getting rid of that cement itself and the noise and vehicular traffic on the most important battlefield, some argue, in Western civilization because it defined the Texas Republic and later the southern contours of our great country. So I can't think of a more important conservation project in North America, and it's been an honor to pursue that. And for the next land commissioner, it'll be well-positioned to build the Texas-sized museum that will showcase the Phil Collins exhibit.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the Genesis frontman has got like one of the biggest Alamo collections like of anybody and has kindly bequeathed it to us. George P. Bush is here in our last couple of minutes of what will be numerous conversations over the next 11 weeks. Let's wrap up and talk about the name. You are intensely proud of it, and you should be. Your family's heart for service is something to be envied in every corner. Lately, though, they're family members who have hated Trump's guts, and you have stood apart from them in not doing so. We've had some fascinating moments talking about what Thanksgiving is like for the Bushes, and your ad campaign makes it clear that not only are you not hostile to Trump, that you've embraced a lot of him, that you've embraced the wall. There are conservatives listening right now who say you've talked a good game, but doggone it, man, that name. What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them, you know, America First policies work for Texas and they'll continue to work for our country if we can get back in 2024. But in the meantime, we've got a battle here in Texas and we need a top lawyer that's going to win in the courthouse federally but also against liberal progressive mayors and county judges that stand up to directives of freedom. And so we got to nominate the most proven vote getter against Democrats and liberal progressives. And I have that. So I will continue to subscribe. I'll continue to follow, and I'll continue to argue on behalf of what I call Texas First policies, starting with securing the border, backing law enforcement, taking on human trafficking, and confronting public corruption in Texas. So proud to have been endorsed by Trump in my prior races for land office. This time around, I'm going to reach out to his office today, reestablish those lines of communication, and say, look, Mr. President, you know, I believe that you've made a mistake on this one. You know, there's great conservatives that have also won without the endorsement. I'm giving you a chance to reassess the position, because there's a lot at stake here that's bigger than me. It's bigger than my family. It's bigger than the president himself. It's about taking on very difficult liberal progressives that are going to try to change the face of Texas in one generation. So there's a lot at stake in this race.
It's weird, because when the Trump endorsement was hanging out there in the breeze, I thought, okay, he and Paxton certainly share some history and some ideological turf, but he's got to love you about the fact that you are the one member of the family that does not revile him. And is that just kind of is that kind of posturing, or do you think there is a chance that Trump would pull the endorsement off Paxton and give it to you?
Well, I'm gonna scratch hard, as you know, Mark, for every single endorsement, every single possible support. I'm not going to concede any ground in this race. I'm going to travel all over the state, and that starts with the leader of our party, and that's President Trump. So, among other calls that I'll make to Congressman Gohmert and to Justice Guzman, I intend to reach out to President Trump's camp and to other elected officials that, you know, whether or not they endorse, I think it's worth the professional courtesy call and to let them know the lay of the land that I see it here in Texas, that, you got George Soros flooding the box with millions of dollars. You got Beto O'Rourke raising significant cash. You got AOC coming to Texas and supporting this candidate down in South Texas that wants to take your guns and legalize abortion on demand and freebies for illegals and turning Texas blue. And look, there's a lot at stake, I'm telling you. And, you know, somebody who has fought Democrats, you know, the normal moderate Democrats, who, by the way, didn't even make the runoff last night, now moving to the AOC-style progressive squad that you're seeing on the other side. I mean, the stakes couldn't be bigger. It's so dangerous to have a top lawyer with a Democrat in the White House partnering with liberal progressive DAs and mayors in Texas. It's a dangerous coalition that we've got to confront and win. There's no mistake about it.
It's like political Groundhog Day. We get 11 more weeks of the Attorney General's race. George P. Bush is here. Congratulations to you, sir. And I know we'll be talking, and you're welcome here anytime. And just thanks a million, and decompress and plow forward. No, it's going to be a busy time.
You got it, Mark.
Appreciate it, sir. George P. Bush. Website is georgepbush.com. 852. Oh, the party has started, and it started on this morning's show. Holy mackerel. Let Pink take us out. If you haven't been listening since 7, I'll just give you some highlights. John Cornyn joins us. I haven't even said the word State of the Union except in the segment with Mike. Hey, he'll join us 9:20. But as we begin the 9 o'clock hour together, I'll tell you how it went when we talked with Paxton at 7:05. You just heard George P., and we had Louis Gohmert in there as well. God love him. So what have we learned this morning about how the next 11 weeks are going to go toward the runoff May 24th? We will give you a synopsis and welcome your thoughts. Love your thoughts. If you have heard all or most of it, how has it all worked out for you? 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 859.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.